Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, this is where we're beginning, and this is Paul's response to the Corinthians about things offered to idols. And you know, in Corinth, they had many idols in Corinth, and that was the standard practice, was idolatry. And one of the things that they had a question about was, what do you do with this meat when it's offered to idols? Does that mean we're committing idolatry if we partake of this? And you think about it, is everybody, and I'm not in Corinth, but let's pretend that we are in Corinth, and all the Corinthians know, if you want a good steak or you want some good pork chops, the best place to go is the restaurant next to the idol temple. Because the meat that was left over, that's what they sold. And I think in one passage, Paul says, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, eat it without questioning. Because you get that, you know what, man, that's a prime cut. You can see you're one of the Corinthians. It's like, I like that. This wasn't offered to idols, was it? And he said, yeah, it was. It's a great deal, though. And he said, I can't eat that. Man, that's a good steak. So you have a dilemma with the Corinthians, and he says in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, he says, now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So that's one of my favorite verses. When Paul said it, he says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. What knowledge? What knowledge was he talking about the Corinthians?
The knowledge of their salvation.
Okay.
1 Timothy 4.
That is, if food, they can eat anything. It doesn't matter what. If it was an idol, a food offered to idols or not. But you notice, and he said this, and I think that's, it's somewhat, not sarcastic, but I guess it is, in a way, where he says that we know we all have knowledge. We all know this. But they didn't all know that, because they wouldn't be writing to him if they knew that, right? So he says,
earlier chapters, in 6:12, all things are lawful.
All things are right, you know. And but even in that situation where they could eat, but he says we all have knowledge.
So he's talking about practical application of knowledge in light of love.
And before, he's talking about
The weaker brother around you, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's, he said, we, for those who knew, he said, we know, we, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. But
right.
To him.
That's the key. Is, but listen, he says, we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You know, that's puffing up is, you know what? Knowledge actually makes you carnal.
Mm-hmm. Right, if the knowledge doesn't affect you.
If it's, right, if it puffs you up, you display more flesh, mm-hmm, than you do spirituality. Mm-hmm. Because of that, carnality is coming out.
We need to show grace as we have been shown grace.
We need to show grace as we have been shown grace. We need to show charity as we have been shown charity.
Or calls to the flesh.
And that's what you should be careful of. Anybody who has a higher realm of knowledge is always in danger of looking down on a person.
Too much is given, much is required.
Always in. It's a possibility that you can, like my pastor used to say, you can win an argument, but not the man. Mm-hmm. And what you're after is you want to win him. That's why Paul said to Corinthians chapter 9, he says, I became all things to all men that I might gain some. So he could go in, he could have, with the doctrine that Paul had, he could have answered every argument that ever came up and won. But when he did that, where would that leave the man who he was trying to win? He would walk away in defeat of losing the argument, but that's not what he's after, winning the argument. He's after winning the man. And that's the way we should, and the Corinthians should be thinking that way too. He says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity, what?
Edifieth. I got a good definition.
So now you have, in verse 2, he says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know.
Here's my definition for charity, is seeing the truth work in others.
Seeing the truth work in others.
In other words, yeah, you've got knowledge, but love edifies. So you're more interested in the truth having effect in another person. And so that's why you, like Paul, became all things to all people, because his end goal was the truth.
Right. Is to see them.
To see them.
He said it. He says, charity, what?
Edifying.
Charity. I just shorten that. Charity edifieth. Knowledge puffs up. So the Corinthians here, he says, now, even with this, he says, you know this, the Corinthians. You know that the idol doesn't mean anything. And you take it and run with that. But obviously, your brother, the weaker brother, he does not have that knowledge. But you do, so you take it and you say, oh, I know that. I know it doesn't mean anything. But what you're not after is this. Is building that man up. That's why the next verse he says this. And if any man think that he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know.
Well, one is self-focused, the other is other-focused.
One is self-focused, right? I like that. And the other is what?
Other-focused.
That's good. That's exactly. You know what? I won't even say that. Well, to go a step further, this is self-focus, but this, we'll go a little further, is God-focused.
Right, because, well, what I was going to say is that, like you've taught us, things were important to Paul because they were important to God. And that's...
Right.
And in that, that was the whole purpose of deferring my liberty to the other, because
now why would he say they don't know as they ought to know? If any man thinks he knows, he doesn't know as he ought to know. Now in the same book, well,
because that knowledge hasn't gone further,
it hasn't,
the intent of that knowledge,
it hasn't gone further to the intent of that. They have all these gifts, and he's bringing out in the book, he says those gifts were to profit
with all.
And here they are. They're just taking, they're you know what? They're eating bites at a time. Just little bites at a time. Not realizing that, you know, this is just a little piece of the puzzle. And charity always looks to the end result. You know, when you quoted that verse, Jenny, is all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. You're always looking for the end result. Mm-hmm. And whatever is in between the truth and the edification, you want to cut that gap down as quick as possible. And sometimes the thing between the truth and growth is you. When you're talking to other believers, he says this: they know nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. How do you figure that out, Paul? He says, you think you know, but how I know you know is when I see this. How I know that you know is when I see charity working in you. Because I know that now you're not, you don't have a self motivation. You don't have a self centered approach to it. You have a God centered approach to it.
Well, if we're to have the mind of Christ, Christ's mind was not my will, but thy will.
That's right. Now think about it. He's writing to the Corinthians, and he's preparing them to go on to maturity.
Right.
But right now they don't have it, and the all the things that they wrote to him about, you can see that little by little, he has to address these things because they are carnal. They had a little knowledge. You know what? When Paul uses charity, he uses, matter of fact, both of these words, charity and edification, when he's writing. He uses it more than any other writer. He uses charity alone in the Corinthians more than any other book. Do you think he's trying to tell them something?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's trying to bring out something for them? Even the Paul, he'll use this word. Matter of fact, the only other writer, I think Peter uses something like being built up on your most holy faith, something like that. But he'll use this, edify, edifying, edified, edification. All those roots of that word. As a builder, as a master builder, that was his main concern, is the edifying of the saints. And that's what, to go a step further with the charity, charity is this, is like, I remember somebody said, what's the difference between love and charity?
Well, it depends. Are you saying phileo, or are you saying...
I'm saying, right. That's is that, as a matter of fact, the root word of that is where we get the very word grace from.
Mm-hmm.
It's given to somebody who what?
Can't repay.
Not only can they not repay, but it's given them what they need. That's what, no, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. We're saved by grace, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. All, everything that is needed to grow is provided. And charity makes sure you have that. Charity eliminates self completely. Charity edifies. Knowledge focuses on what?
Me.
Charity focuses on you. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. You know how to tell if a man love, you see these preachers that we see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they'll say they love the people. Oh, I love my congregation. I love my parishioners. How do you know he loves them? Let me give you another example. How did Saul love the people?
Which one are you referring to?
Not Saul.
Paul,
well, Saul. King Saul.
King Saul.
Did he love the people?
He, he was obviously more focused on him. He was focused on himself.
When the nation Israel picked. When they said we want a king.
Wait, I need this for my notes. Just a minute, take a quick picture so I got it for my notes.
When they picked the king, God told them up front, this is the king that you'll get. He's going to take from you. He's going to take this. He's going to take.
Okay.
I won't go back there. He's going to take your sons and daughters and make them his servants. He's going to take your crops. He's going to take everything. He's going to take and not give. So you know that he didn't what? He didn't love them. He didn't have their best interest at hand. All you got to do is go back and read it.
Saul was a type of the Antichrist, wasn't he?
That's right.
Was he the one that was described as the fat man, or was that someone else?
No, that's somebody else.
Because I went through a thing last night with 18 different characters.
Ehud.
There was 18 different characters that were types of the Antichrist.
Chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. And they know. Can I erase that now?
Yeah.
They know. How do you know if a man loves God? He's loving. He's loving. Okay. He's concerned with the things that God is concerned with. Is God concerned? He's not only concerned with knowledge, but he's concerned with how you use that knowledge and the end of that knowledge. So we come here. You know what we? You go into Bible study and learning all these things, but where it really counts in the display, you'll say, I don't know why you go into Bible class, because it's not working on you. The way you talk to me or the, you know, et cetera, is what are you learning?
You should have seen what I used to be like.
Now, look at this verse. We're going to learn something here from John. Look at John. Oh boy. First, second, third Johns. The epistles of John. Bear with me for a minute. It's been a long time since I read John. He says, how can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you do see? Oh, 4:20. I'm looking right at it. 4:19. He says this. This is 1 John 4:19. He says, if a man say, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now that's a Hebrew epistle, but that's a good principle. Is God is, he doesn't demand that you love the brethren, but it is a beseech.
Or a barometer.
Is a, right. Hold your hand there. Look at Philippians. I like this verse. This one of my favorite verses. There. Philippians chapter 2. Now, Paul's writing to the Philippians. And in all, as in all his epistles, he's always looking for growth, for edification. And he's writing to them. He's in jail. Right? Mm-hmm. So if he's really concerned about them and he's in jail, and there's a division there, Paul, as a father, he would send somebody who's equipped to go help them. Here's what he says. He says, verse 18, "For the same cause also do you rejoice with me," verse 19, 2:19, "but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Why did he care about their state? That is, the way where they were right now in belief and practice.
I was writing a note. I didn't see where Philippians 2 what?
2:19, right. He said, now why would he care about their state? They were his brethren. He loved them. And matter of fact, he was more like their children. He was more like a father to them. And he was after their growth. After their edification. Building them up. In building them up in his doctrine. When I say his doctrine is what?
Grace.
Grace. His doctrine is? His doctrine is God's word, God's doctrine.
Right.
He said he wasn't sitting there thinking of what can I say to Corinthians? What can I say to the Philippians? What can I say? He wasn't sitting there trying to devise something, manipulate them. He said, "I got this from the Lord, and it's for you." Yeah. That's like I've told you this story where I was last Sunday. I was leaving this. I did the Sunday school when I was last Sunday. I'm leaving out, and the guy said, "You know, we know you got to leave. We appreciate you being here, and we know you got to go out and share your Pauline doctrine." And I was like, "I said, it's not my Pauline doctrine, brother. I said it's right. This is for you. This is for all believers to embrace and to teach and to believe. It's for the people. It's for the believers." And I said, that's where we get bogged down is, this is not mine. No, the Lord said, he said, if any man will know the doctrine, if he want to know, he said, he will know whether I speak of myself or I speak of God. If any man love God, look, if you want God, that's what Jesus said. If you want God, then you'll know the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or it's from him. Yeah. It's not hard. It's not hard to pinpoint this. The problem is that you don't want it. No, you said, you know what? We're Abraham's seed. He said, no. If you were Abraham's seed, you would
love me.
You would love me.
Mm-hmm.
But now you seek to kill me. You are of
your father.
He said, you don't love me. You don't, because you don't love Abraham and you don't love me.
Right.
And if you don't love Abraham and you don't love me,
you don't love God.
That's a little strong, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
See, the Lord didn't miss words like we do. But Paul, you know what? He pulled them to the carpet.
No, I was just thinking, I've been studying on 2 Corinthians 11 here about the past 4 or 5 days and just marinating on it. And, you know, Paul's real clear. If any man preach another Jesus than what I preach. It's real simple. You want to know if a man... If you're in a church that's teaching the right doctrine for today, is he teaching another Jesus than what Paul preached? Mm-hmm. He doesn't say a false Jesus, because Christ talked about false Christ. Mm-hmm. He says another Jesus. Another one in this Bible.
Earthly.
That's not what Paul preached.
I see y'all going to the extreme now with this grace doctrine. You don't believe in Jesus now. You know what? That's what they'll... put out there. You don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe that Jesus is greater than Paul. You're exalting Paul above Jesus.
Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have any problem with Moses.
Yeah.
Now watch. Watch this. He said this. But I trust, 2:19, but I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it shall go with me. Now, you know what? Let's keep going down there. He says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. And he goes on to talk about why he sent him. But there's two guys where he says, I'm sending Timothy because I know what? What does he know about Timothy?
He's like-minded.
What's that mind?
Son, he's got that mind.
What is that mind? Like, what is it? What is it?
Mind of Christ.
What was Paul's mind? The mind of Christ. What does that mean?
That means that he cared for the things that the Lord cared for.
Okay, he cared for the things of the Lord. What's the things of the Lord?
Grace, mercy.
You're right. That's doctrine, right?
Building up the body.
Okay, edifying. That's right. That's all that's in there.
Their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience.
I trust in the Lord that I will send Timothy unto you. I have no man like-minded who will naturally talk about grace, edification. I have no man who will naturally
care
for what?
For their growth.
For their growth. For what?
For you.
Yes.
Because
sometimes it's so obvious till you know what, it gets complex. But he says, I'm sending him because he cares for you.
I care for you so he can care.
For you, right. Look, we're laborers together. I care for you. I'm not going to send another man who does not care for you. When he goes there, this man, he says, look, Timothy. When he said, did I send Timothy? Did we not walk in the same steps? He didn't mean that Timothy walked in the same. He said, didn't he care like I cared? Didn't he love you like I loved you? Didn't he minister to you like I ministered to you? Didn't he edify you like I edified you? Didn't he love you like I love you? They would have to say, yes, he did. If any man love God, the same is known of him.
Yeah.
The Corinthians had people among them who they said they were apostles. But he was, how much money you got? He said, put it right here. Will you take me to dinner today? I need you to help me get a jet. What?
An air carriage.
An air carriage. Whatever it is. Do you see? Do you see the difference between a lover, a giver, and a taker? Paul, back to Romans or Corinthians. Before we get off the idol worship here, he said, verse 4, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Now, Paul's writing to the believers. He said, we know this. Apparently, that knowledge was a little shaky, wasn't it? Because there was some who wrote and says, what about this meat? Now, if they come in and we're Corinthians, and I see you sitting down at the idol worship restaurant, and I come by and I say, that's Jeanette. And she's eating. You know it's idol worship food because it's the idol worship restaurant. And she's a believer. Like, whoa. That's where, if I'm not strong, if I know that it does, if I don't know it means nothing, what will I do?
Go gossip.
Go.
Take it back.
I saw her. Or, what?
No.
What?
You confront it?
Well, you know what? Or I'll say, it must be okay.
But don't have knowledge.
If I don't, either it'll,
but
like Paul said,
it's okay, but without knowledge.
Without knowledge, it either, like I said, Paul said, it'll wound my conscience, or it'll embolden me. Where I said, you know what? If she's eating it, it must be okay. But in my mind, I'm not persuaded. So when I sit down, as soon as I sit down and eat that, you know what? I'm tossing and turning all night. Because I just committed idolatry.
Because to whatever sin is sin to you to do it, I can't remember how that scripture.
That's it.
Is.
That's the one, though.
Right.
Whatsoever is not of faith,
right,
is sin. Right. Or, you know, if you're not doing it with a conviction that this is right,
then it is.
Not her conviction, your conviction. That's what, yeah, I told the guy, I said, listen, man, I said, don't preach, if you don't believe this, don't preach it one Sunday.
Right.
Don't do it. Because you can't be coerced into this grace. If you don't believe it, don't preach it. Because after a while, you know what? The persuasion will wear off. And then you're left with your conviction and you find out, you know what? I never believed it in the first place. Now you got to backtrack.
Do we kind of have an equivalent for that? Like when people go to the casino just to eat. They might not gamble, but they will go there to eat. They get some good food.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Or, you know, they'll go to the casino to get a room. You know, whatever. And I know that it's not evil or horrible. You know what I'm saying? But somebody who don't understand, they'll see that.
Right. Because they'll see that, you know what? They'll say, Gerald is a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that? I saw him at the casino.
Yeah.
What? You're a gambler. So you know what? You become guilty by association.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though you might say, I wasn't gambling. I was just sitting there. I was eating the food there. But, you know, when you say that, the parallel, right, is there.
Picking up my mom.
Now, but to look at it, he says, we know that the idol is nothing in the world. We know the idol is nothing in the world. And there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. He says, now we know this. We know this. So you got the idol restaurant.
The IR.
And then you got IHOP, the idol hop. You got the IHOP. And you got we would just say the True God Restaurant. Okay. Hold on. I'm just using this as an example. But
the idol
restaurant, they got the fat steaks.
Big ones.
They got the big juicy steaks. But the True God restaurant,
clean.
Yeah. It's only the clean, the kosher food. They're not as big as the fat steaks. That's right. So I know it's only one guy, but they got good meat. All right. I know it's only one Lord, but they have it on discount. See, we done stopped our idol worship, or the idol. They stopped their sacrifices. So you know the priests would eat some of the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was for them. Well, they still have animal sacrifices. We know it doesn't mean anything, and the meat that's left over is good meat. You know, the guy told me one day, he says, "Man, you ever had it's the bones of a fish." He called it something. He called it
So it's
the
bone of a certain
fish. It's the right, fish bones. And he called it something.
I thought it was just to spit the bones out.
No, you know what? It's, you know how you, when you clean the fish and then, you know, you have the bones on it, and he said some of the meat is still on there. And he called it something, and they sell it. And they sell it. They sell it. He said it's good. It's good, the discount on it. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But he said they have, even though they didn't burn it all at the altar, they had leftover meat was good. He said, howbeit, verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. He said, now you might know that there's no other God. You might know there's one Lord. He said, but there's another believer who's not as knowledgeable as you are, as not established as you are. And if you tell him it's okay, he said he'll eat it, but what? His conscience is what? It'll eat him up. His conscience is defiled.
He's certainly defiling the other weaker brethren because, you know, he doesn't have that knowledge. And so,
come on, Jenny. Come on over. Meet me at the idol restaurant. We're going to have an idol burger.
Idol burger.
And you're like, what?
Frank.
Idol burger. I don't think we should eat that. Oh, come on, man. It's only one God. We just know. Okay. And he goes there. First bite. Bad enough he's in there. The first bite, he's done. It may take 30 sermons to get that bite out of him. You know, that's what people say, that it takes, for every negative that you pick up, it takes a whole bunch of positives to get that one negative out. So if you holding on and his conscience defiled, that one burger, it may hang on for quite a while with him. You gone, no big deal. One trip to the casino, we just went to this guy. He still, every time he thinks about it, I wonder if God's mad with me.
Why isn't the knowledgeable brother explaining these things to the weaker brother to put his mind at ease?
Because
he ain't
gonna know. I'll tell you why he's not. He said, look, matter of fact, hold your hand there. Look at Romans chapter 14. to borrow this word from Paul. Why do you think the knowledgeable brother is not telling him that? Why do you think he's not explaining this to him? Why do you think he's not protecting him? He thinks the Holy Spirit's in him?
He doesn't love him?
He doesn't care for him? He's not trying to edify him? He doesn't naturally care for his state?
It's all about me, 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 me.
That's exactly why. Sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? Watch this. Romans 14. Verse 13. Well, I was going to look at that one. 13:13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this. Rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. What does that word mean?
Walkest thou not in love?
That's right. Walkest thou not in love? Love will take care of all that. Mm-hmm. Walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat. For what? For whom Christ died. That goes right back to what we talked about is, if he loved the Lord,
yeah,
what would he do about that meat?
Both of them.
Why not?
Because he'd offend his younger brother?
He would offend his
weaker
brother. He would offend it. He says, 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of.
So that's when they see the stronger brother eating and then they turn around and start gossiping about it.
if he saw, you know what Paul, well, we'll get back over there. He said, walkest thou not charitably? Don't put an occasion, whatever it is. Your liberty as a believer stops when it offends me.
Right.
If you are a mature believer.
Okay.
Now you could say, oh, I can do this. I'm free to do this. You're free to do anything you want to do. But if I know, you know what, as we were at the conference last year, and I was teaching, what was it? It was on Ephesians, some verses in Ephesians. But anyway, the question came up, and I used the example. Some guys at work were out there, and they get out there next door, and they play this rap. They play it loud. So you know what? You go out, and you hear it. And I said, there was, you know what? And I liked it. It appealed to the flesh of me, flesh part of me. And what? you listen to rap? And I told him, I said, this everywhere. You will hear this even if you don't want to hear it. Which is, you walk out and then you hear it.
Sin's everywhere too,
bro. I said that. It's ubiquitous. That's the same. That's exactly what I said. It's ubiquitous. Yeah. It's everywhere. Everywhere. It's everywhere. And a guy asked me, he said, and I said, for you legalists, you got legalists out there, I don't own a CD and I have not bought one for you guys, you know, that I said, And there's nothing wrong with me if I want to do that. I said, but if it bothers this brother, I said, guess what? He'll never hear it. He'll never hear me with it. If it'll trip, it was another guy there, and he was taking notes like Jenny takes notes. I said, if it'll stop him from writing, I said, he'll never hear that played in my car or my house or whatever. And I'm free to do that. Because that's the charitable approach to it. And that's where my liberty, I can give it up for your edification.
Suppress it.
I can. Paul said, am I not free? Don't we have power to, like she said, to lead about a sister? Don't we have power to be paid for what we do? Mm-hmm. To the Corinthians. He said, yeah. He said, or do as me and Paul or Peter, are we the only ones that should not work? Or he said, it's right for me to not work, isn't it? You're supposed to take care of me. Mm-hmm. He said, but I haven't used any of these things.
Right.
That's my liberty to get it. It's due to me. I can do this. He said, but I have foregone all these things so you won't get tripped up.
Yeah.
And he said, see, I told you. All he wanted was the money. Or whatever the case would be. But he said this, verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol to this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. He said, whatever you eat, if they say it's offered to an idol, that's not going to distance you from God.
Right.
And if you abstain from it, that's not going to get you closer to God. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because all things are lawful. Even a step further, because what? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Why, if I eat, it won't distance me from God if I eat from the idol restaurant? Or if I don't eat, it's not going to get me closer to God. Why not? Because all things are lawful, that's true. But there's something essential here that has to do with the worship of idols, period. He knows that the idol is nothing. And the meat is nothing either. None of that stuff means anything. But to the man who, until his knowledge catches up, it's a problem. You know, there in the Old Testament, there was a guy, two guys actually. You remember Laban?
Laban
was Rachel's uncle. Sir, uncle. And is it, maybe it was a brother.
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 For
brother.
Yeah. For
but when they left, when they
left,
he was related to her.
Yeah.
And they left. When they left, Jacob left, and Rachel
took
she took Laban's
idols.
His images, right.
And hit him in a chest.
And and the thing is, you know what? When he found out his images were gone,
it came.
He caught up to him. He says, hey.
God bless
you. You got something that belongs to me. He was willing to, you know what? He was willing to chased them down for that. And another guy in Kings is Micah.
Mm-hmm.
Micaiah. And the people came in and they took his idols with them. And that's another guy. He ran them down. And you know what? The people, when they caught up with him, and they said, I love this part. They says, "What aileth thee? What aileth thee that you coming up like this?" You know, it's like, what's your problem? What? And he says, "Hey, man, you got my idols." You know what he said? He said, "You have my idols and my priest and my ephod and my teraphim." And he says, "What do I have left?"
Man.
There's a man who didn't know that an idol meant nothing. Mm-hmm. Because he had everything wrapped up in those idols.
Mm-hmm. But it's like that for real. People have idols, you know, maybe a car, house, a lady, a dude, whatever. And they are totally invested in that. That's their everything.
That's modern day, right. So what's the approach for a person like that? It might be some of us have little idols that we, you know.
I think about
that you have.
There's been in the news lately so many suicides. Mm-hmm. And it's like when someone is so desperate. Now I realize that there's mental illness, whatever, but when you think about it, that it breaks my heart when I think somebody can be so desperate and so devoid of the truth about where they, about the reality of where they are in this world and God's plan, that they, you know.
Well,
and in a sense, that's an idol.
Yeah, to be without it, they would rather die. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the knowledge that when you're operating on a lack of knowledge, you have to default to what? Self.
Mm-hmm. What you know.
And that's, look at this passage. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah 44. Nope. It's a question. He starts talking about the idol.
That's definitely.
No, that's another book. Oh boy. Let's see. I thought it was 44. Yeah, that's it. Isaiah 44. This is a long passage, but I'll try to cut it down here. Verse 9. Yeah. You said 9, didn't you? Verse 9. He says, verse 8, "Fear not, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no God I know, not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing?" Who would do that? Who would make an image that's profitable for nothing? He was saying, you do. He said, "Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. They shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together." Verse 12, "The blacksmith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint." He said, no, here's a blacksmith. He works to the bone. He works till he's tired. What do you think he's doing? He's making an idol. He says, 13, "The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he maketh it out of the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. Now here's a guy, you know what? He planes, he shapes it, he's whittling away, he shapes it like a man. What is he doing? He's fashioning an idol. For 14, he heweth him down cedars. You know what cedars? You know what they? You know what they say? Use cedar.
Wood.
Why do you use cedar?
Yeah. Doesn't rot.
It doesn't rot. You know what? I plan for this to what?
Yeah.
I want this to be around for a while. He said he heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. He said the guy is planting trees for that very purpose.
To make more idols.
He said, then, 15, then it shall be for man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh the god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down to it. He burneth part of it in the fire, and part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth his roast, it satisfieth. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. He said, the very wood that he uses for an idol, you know what? I chop it down, I chop it up. I use some of it to cook my food. I use some of it to make a fire.
I make an idol when I worship.
And some of it I make an idol with. Don't you see the folly in this?
Yeah.
He says, and the residue thereof he what?
Maketh
the god. Even his graven image, he falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes, and they cannot see, and their hearts they cannot understand. So, here's, you know what? What's left over, the guy makes an idol, and he sets it down and he, with his own hands. And he says, now, deliver me.
That's circular reasoning.
Do you see where when Paul said there's an idol is nothing in the world? That's what he...
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. There is but one God, one Lord.
And his name one.
That's it. Let's see, how far do we get? 1 Corinthians 8.
Makes me think of the idol Dagon.
He says, but in verse 9, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Of course he will. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You see, there's liberty. He said, but the liberty, charity overrides liberty. Charity overrides knowledge. Charity overrides doctrine. That's why when Paul gets to first chapter 13, he'll say, if without this, I'm what? I'm nothing. Without charity, I'm nothing. If I don't have love, he says, it's nothing. Because that will dictate how you handle every situation with believers. That's why love is the principal thing. That's why Paul said in Romans, he said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love, for he that loveth his neighbor loves himself. So, when we go forward, you know what? Whatever the questionable situations are, we know a lot of things as believers, especially as when right division comes into play. But the main thing we should know is how to approach it charitably. Because it doesn't, like I said, it don't mean a row of beans if you don't love the guy. You could prove wrong most. You can prove wrong 80% of the things people talk about. But what would that do but puff you up? Mm-hmm. To say, "Well, look at me. I got the answers to this." But if you're not after that man growing, if you're not after him being edified, yeah. You know what? Just sit there. And you know who knows that? You know that. And the Lord knows that. If any man love the Lord, and people will know that. People will know why you do the things you do. They'll know if you really after helping him, or if you just
show him up.
Got head knowledge. So we'll pick it up in chapter 9 next week.